broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
It is the Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass and beyond to take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Where are those places? What do we do when we get to those places? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? I'll never tell, at least not when the sun's shining. No, of course I will tell, but better that you experience it here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a batch, what is it?
Backstage.
Get a backstage pass. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show every night, as well as our archives, as well as our podcast, as well as everything, man. Our news feed, our comment section, our TV projects, our TV interviews, our radio interviews, everything that is there is yours for the very, very low price of a month. So check it out. Believe me, it's very affordable. I don't want to give the price. No, I won't. I will not give the price here. It's too gauche. It's too, it isn't done.
I say, my boy.
So head over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass and buy the only subscription to any radio station website anywhere that's really worth it, folks. We're not doing some, with all due respect, we're not doing some jackass newsletter and then three little clips with, you know, about 2 minutes each and, hey, here's what we did to the show today. No. You get the whole show, and in the archives go back some 13, 14 years. One of these days I want to put the real number on it. What year is this? 2010. So these archives go back to 99, so that's 12 years, and then maybe another year, 13 years of archive material at philhendryshow.com. Also, our souvenir shop now has the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, and if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, you can see the new Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, and there is the slogan on the back of the sweatshirt. We want to put our in your thing. And then, of course, on the very front is the Ted logo in blue, in white, and in black. Check it out. It's there at philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell is a longtime contributor on our program, and he's going to be talking to us about the events yesterday in Homestead, Florida. Mr. Bozell is a NASCAR fan, an auto sports fan, and you also have a daughter who attends a middle school there in Corona, California, correct, Steve?
Yes, sir, I do.
And what is your daughter's name?
My daughter's April, and she attends CK Corona.
CK Corona. Your daughter, April, took exception to something that you had said this morning, correct?
Yes, sir. I had mentioned that before the kids went to school, I said that I thought that Michelle Obama and Mrs. Biden getting booed at the NASCAR event was pretty funny, you know.
And you thought it was very funny?
No, I did. I thought it was very funny. At the time, I thought, that she's down there, you know, NASCAR, everybody knows, you know. I mean, that just doesn't seem right, or it didn't seem right to me at the time.
Well, what didn't seem right about it?
I mean, just the cheap at a NASCAR event just didn't add up, you know. Couldn't put it together in my mind in the way that...
You couldn't put together in your mind why Michelle Obama would be at a NASCAR event?
Yes, sir. And it's not, it has nothing to do with race. And I told my daughter that, you know, and I got the phone call this morning.
Which brings us to the second part of this. You made a comment at breakfast that you didn't think there was anything wrong with them booing. You thought it was funny.
I did. At the time I did. I've changed my mind since then.
Okay, but you got a call from your daughter's school, CK Corona School, asking you to come down there.
I have, Phil, from time to time, I've gotten calls from the kid's school telling me to come down and that I need to report to Erica Dorton's office. She is the principal, and she has two assistants there, Pamela Asher and Lacey Joyce Spring, who are both assistants to the principal. And I went down at that time. They did inform me that my daughter had told her teacher that I had said that it was pretty funny, Michelle Obama getting booed. I was then directed to the classroom where my daughter has her class.
Now, what grade is your daughter in?
She's a fifth grader.
She's a fifth grader. That's a middle school, huh?
This is, yeah, it's an advanced middle school. It's called a Project One middle school. It's
Okay. So she's a higher achieving.
Yes, sir. Scholastically, yes, sir.
Okay.
So,
all right, so you got called down to your daughter's school, and you were called into your daughter's classroom after you had made this comment that it was funny to you that Michelle Obama was booed. Tell me again, not getting into any commentary as to anything else, but why did you feel that was funny?
Well, I mean, I just thought it was funny. I mean, here in ladies, and she started to say, you know, start your engine, and everybody booed her. I just thought it was really funny. That's all. I just did, you know. And
you don't think there's any race issue involved?
I did not. And but to see, that's what, when I got into the classroom and I began to field questions from the kids, and which is what I was told to do, is to go into April's class, and I introduced myself as April's daddy, and I said, you know, I laughed when Mrs. Obama got booed. And that's when the kids started to ask me questions. And
what kind of questions do the kids ask?
Well, I mean, they asked, but like you said, am I a racist? And they asked me if I had, you know, if I hated black people. I said, no, I do not, you know. And one of the kids there, a young boy by the name of Bradley, who's, I guess he's about the age of my daughter, he got up. He's one of the class leaders, and told me that he did feel I was a racist. And he did feel I was full of hate, and I told him no, I wasn't. And it was that time I was beginning to get a little emotional, because I don't want anyone thinking I'm hateful.
You laughed at you thought it was funny that Michelle Obama got booed because.
Well, I found out from talking to the kids it is because I'm racist. It is because I was racist, you know, and
it just from talking to these kids.
Yes, sir. And, I mean, I left there, I felt pretty bad, and I went home. I couldn't go back to work. I just went home and just basically laid down in the afternoon. I just basically buried my head in a pillow, and I remember just, my wife said she could hear me, you know, weeping in the next room.
Why were you so emotional?
Because the kids at the school showed me where
these are kids, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's what I said to Mrs. Dorton. I said, Erica Dorton, I said, you're just kids. How would they know better than me what I... And she didn't have to say. She rarely speaks anyway. And just by looking at me, I could tell that I had messed up bad. So I wanted to tell you and your listeners, as a result of meeting with my daughter's friends and the school, that I've seen the racism that sort of is in my heart and is in the heart of a lot of people. I'd like to think that I'm not a racist, but I could see that by laughing at Michelle Obama being booed and everything.
What do you think of the people that booed her, Steve? Do you think they're worse than you, how do you?
I think that they have more courage than me, because they had the courage to boo her, not just that way, billions of miles away, laughing. And that also made me feel ashamed, because not only am I a racist, but I, in a lot of ways, I'm a gutless, you know, racist, if you will. When those people booed, they are racist, but at least they have the courage.
So you think the people that booed Michelle Obama there at the Homestead Raceway were also racists, or at least that's what...
I did not think that.
So you didn't think that at the beginning, but you do now as the result of talking to your daughter's class.
Yes, sir. And
all right, I want to ask you a little bit about this, and we're talking to Stephen Bozell, folks, here on the Phil Hendry Show tonight. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And he's talking with us about this incident yesterday at the raceway in Florida, South Florida. Homestead is pretty much within the Miami area. Where there was booing of the First Lady by the fans there, the NASCAR fans. I wanted to ask you, Steve, about this incident from the standpoint of the fans out there. You know, you say that you were gutless. At least they have the guts and that they were booing her. Do you think they are? Do you think their motive was racial?
Well, I've got to believe that it was, because the only reason why I say that is because my daughter and Bradley and some of the other kids told me that, especially Bradley, who's only about 11, and he basically, he told me what I needed to hear, that I was, that I'm a just a bigot, and he said that the people that booed Michelle Obama, they're bigots too, and it's typical of those kind of bigots, he said, because they're from the South and they're a bunch of, hillbillies. And then he asked me where I was from. And
is this, how old is this kid?
He's 11. He's about my daughter's age, 10 or 11.
Okay.
And then he asked me where I was from.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Steve.
Oh, that's okay.
He's in your daughter's class.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, he said, where are you from? I said, I'm originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. And he said, you're just like those hillbillies then. You're no better. And I felt bad, because I guess I felt he was right, He said, you're nothing more than one of those hillbillies, a lot of mountain trash. And then I just had to leave.
So a little 11-year-old boy, your daughter, the teachers at the school, pretty much took you from that morning saying, that was funny, Michelle Obama being booed at the Homestead Raceway, to this little boy and all of these people eventually convincing you that you're a racist, a bigot, a hillbilly, mountain trash, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Did they convince you, or were you just humiliated and put down and you didn't want to be in that setting?
No, I'm sure that I am. I just don't want my daughter to... The number one reason why I come on your program is I was asked by my daughter to come on your program to prove that, her and to prove to Bradley and the others that I'm not lying, or I want my daughter to know that I love her so much, and of course I'm a dirty bigot. And
did your daughter ask you to come on my program tonight and call you that?
I'm on the phone right now, honey. I'm talking to my daughter right now. She's here if you want to talk to her.
No, I don't know. I don't want to talk. I'm talking to you, sir. Did your daughter ask you to come on my show tonight and to call yourself a dirty bigot?
It was part of the agreement that I reached with Mrs. Dorton and the other trustees so that my daughter would not be asked to leave.
The school?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is getting more curiouser and curiouser, as the poet said. Hold on, Steve.
Well, yes, sir.
Have him hold the line, please. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, giving his opinion on Michelle Obama being booed at the Homestead Raceway this weekend and what it meant to his daughter and her classmates, who convinced him that he was a bigot and a racist for laughing at the booing. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, who was called down to his daughter's school after making this comment to his wife and daughter that he thought it was funny that Michelle Obama was booed. And his daughter and the school called him down there. You were called down, Steve, how?
I guess I don't understand.
Well, you said you were called down there?
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, they called my office.
They called your office?
Yes, sir, and then said for me to report down to the children's school. The kids had some questions, and when I confronted the kids, they asked me, did you really say that about...
Who was... Were just the kids asking questions?
Yes, sir.
The kids were in your daughter's class, okay, and they asked, why did you laugh at Michelle Obama?
Yeah, and I said, because I thought it was funny, and they said, you're nothing but a bigot, and it took me back, but then I realized... maybe they're right. I'm just, I'll say anything, to be honest. Well, I better not say that, but I mean, my daughter's standing here, and the reason why she's standing here is because I did agree to come on your program and say that I'm a filthy bigot.
A filthy bigot?
But I do believe that I am, and the reason why I do is I don't want my daughter to be thrown out of the school, and number two, I just want my daughter to, I want her to love us, her parents.
Yeah.
And to not think that I'm a dirty bigot.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. We got some calls. Do you want to talk to some folks, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's talk to Ross. We have Ross here on line one. Go ahead, Ross. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, sir. At first I was calling in to commend you about, you know, manning up and revealing a part of yourself that, you know, I can see it would be difficult for someone to come out and publicly confess this. But
yes, sir.
Then you say that you're doing it because of stipulations between your mother, your daughter and her school, and that takes a little bit away from the reason I'm calling. If there's stipulations,
well, I mean, I do mean it. You know that
you really mean that you're a quote filthy bigot.
I mean,
and you can't. Well, the question I have for Phil is, you can't believe the fact that someone sees a part of themselves that they don't like and they are expressing it. Do you think it's odd that he? Regardless of how he discovers he has something about himself that he doesn't like, he has come to a realization that is a part of him that he believes that he has in him that he doesn't like. Do you have difficulty believing that he?
The only thing that I've questioned Steve in the past about is that you get these phone calls from the school and they tell you to come down to the school and these kids put you through this sort of third degree.
No. What the gentleman just said there is true. I have a feeling deep down.
Didn't the kids put you through some kind of a third degree?
I don't agree with the kids giving them a third degree either, because that's wrong.
But the kids were right.
Everybody's entitled to their opinions and beliefs.
He called me a dirty bigot, and he was right.
This is another kid, right?
Yeah. It was an 11-year-old kid named Bradley who pointed at me and said, "You're a filthy bigot, just like my own father." And he's talking about his own father.
See, to me, that's just weird, man.
What's weird about it? I mean, these are children that want a good country, and they don't want people booing at Mrs. Obama.
I can agree with that, too. But I believe that the kids are, you know, the kids weren't raised in the same country that us adults were. They don't have the same understanding of the basis of where racism comes from as us adults do. They don't know the history of it. So when they see someone that they suspect is a racist, they're going to call them on it because it's something they don't understand, and their kids ask questions.
Well, I mean, do you think kids are allowed to grill some? Were you allowed to leave the classroom?
Was I allowed to leave the classroom?
Yes, sir.
With permission from the teacher, of course.
Yeah, if I got permission from the students and the teacher, yeah.
From the students and the teacher.
Mr. Henry, I agree. You got to listen to what this gentleman's saying. Today, kids, more and more and more and more, the kids know. And I can't fake the fact that I...
And they're finding out through education and not example.
Right.
Because racism is it's subversive nowadays. And the only way that it's going to be obvious to the kids is through blatant example.
Well, you're letting this guy in line one do all your talking for you.
Well, he's right about everything.
Is that right? Well, what is he? Is this gentleman is right about everything he's saying?
Yes.
Well, he said that he didn't agree with the fact that the kids were grilling you.
No,
I don't.
Well, I agree with. Well,
I understand why
my daughter is asking
at the same time.
My daughter passed me a note. Can I read it, sir?
Go ahead.
Well, she said, "Get rid of this guy on the." She said to get rid of the guy on the phone.
Look, this is what I'm saying to you, Mr. Bozell. You don't have your daughter standing there. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, I was going to let you go because I don't want to get in between him and his daughter. I just wanted to commend him for what he's doing.
To stop talking. She said,
"No, your daughter does not direct the show."
Well, I did my point anyways. You gentlemen have a good night.
Yeah. Okay, are you leaving now? Good.
Your daughter's not going to direct the show.
She said she was getting weary of that guy.
You know, that gentleman was backing her up, okay?
My daughter understands that, but she said that she doesn't want him. You know, Mr. Henry, understand, I'm simply trying to convey her feelings. And
why do you have to convey her feelings? I'm interested in your feelings.
She said she didn't like all the ass-licking.
You know, you got to watch the language on that child. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Steve Bozell laughed at Michelle Obama being booed, and the kids at his daughter's school took him to task for it. We'll be back with more of the Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
My daughter says, quit licking the rear end.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Stephen Bozell about the incident or the event at the Homestead Raceway in South Florida this weekend. Michelle Obama and I guess the Vice President was there as well. And Mrs. Biden was there as well. Jill Biden. No, so the Vice President wasn't there. It was Michelle Obama and Jill Biden. What happened was they got booed at the NASCAR race in Florida. NASCAR is a target-rich environment, according to political people. Overall, NASCAR fans are not as GOP-oriented as you might think, though. In other words, because they're Southerners and they're into NASCAR and they do a lot of flag-waving and they're very patriotic people, some people seem to think, well, that means automatically that they're GOP, and that's not true. There's a lot of them that vote Democrat. In any event, there they are at this event. There they are at this race, and there is Mrs. Obama and Mrs. Biden, and I believe they were passing out reelect Barack Obama stickers, and she was going to give the announcement, "Gentlemen, start your engines," and up came the booze. And that brings us to our guest here this evening, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. You're a NASCAR racing fan, Mr. Bozell, you were telling me, so I imagine that you watch a lot of the races during the year?
Oh, yeah, I do, and I enjoy it very much.
And did you see the First Lady get booed?
I did, yeah. And
then you laughed, right?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. And I said, look, the good old boys, I said, does someone start doing their, you know, give a rebel yell or anything? There are a lot of, I don't know if you ever know, but there's a lot of Confederate flags at these NASCAR events, and just the nature of, you know, being in the South. And I thought, boy, that, you know, I was laughing and everything, but, and my daughter's here, so I want my daughter to know, I'm telling Mr. Henry that I laughed then, I'm not laughing now. I'm telling Mr. Henry I laughed then, I'm not laughing now. You don't have to call her now.
What is your daughter doing?
Nothing, sir. She just, so I told, you know, and my daughter went to school and told the teacher, told Mrs. Dorton that's when I got called down there and corrected by the kid.
This Bradley kid and the other kids.
Yes, sir. You understand, Mr. Henry, that your children, and as that other gentleman said, our children today are far more intelligent than we were when we were coming up. They've got more information. Their nutrition is better. Their books and everything that they have. Their ability to get information. Their resources for it's just way better, and so they have way more information, and so they're smarter than we are. And when your kids are smarter than you, you can't pretend like they're not. You can't not stand there and not acknowledge that they're smarter. And what am I going to do? I can't argue with my daughter. She is smarter than me, and smarter than most people I know.
Well, what do you mean she's smarter than you? I mean,
well, she just understands that when you boo Michelle Obama, and you know she's black, in the words of that kid, I'm a filthy bigot. A filthy bigot.
A filthy bigot because you laughed at Michelle Obama being booed. That's the part I don't understand or that I agree with. And I think you're being hard on yourself. I don't think it's correct. And now, to the point that the kids are smarter than us these days, that's also very interesting for you to say that.
Well, They are.
So, but you say the kids are smarter than us. That means they've got more practical experience with life?
That doesn't make any difference. You don't need practical experience with life to know whether someone is a dirty, filthy bigot. And that's what I am. And that's all I'll ever be.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. There's something wrong, sir, with the way you are articulating that, though. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Jonas on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir. You're on with Stephen Bozell.
Yes, sir. Mr. Steve.
Yes, sir.
I'm black. If another black person boos somebody, I think it's funny. I want to laugh.
Yes, sir.
Now, well, I think there's something else said, and they get offended by it. That's the reason why they went and told the teachers what happened.
I laughed. I said, "Hey, look at that! They're booing at it. Maybe it's because I said it."
That
it? You said they're booing it?
I made a mistake.
See, there's something that Mrs. Steven is not telling us. That's why the story don't make sense. I mean,
wait a minute. What doesn't make sense about it? I'm telling you that my daughter and her classmates stood me there. They looked me up and down. They stood me up straight. And they called it like it was. I'm a bigot, and I'm sorry, and I want my daughter to respect me. And I said that Michelle Obama was laughing at her, and I said I was laughing at it. And
what did you say to your wife, that you laughed at it?
I said I laughed at it when they booed it.
You laughed at it when they booed it. So that's kind of a, you know, talked about objectifying something to the point where it no longer has a gender, you know.
Well, all of that. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right about all of that. And I went to my daughter, and she went to the school. My daughter's right here, sir. But she's listening to everything I'm saying, and she knows that what I'm saying is true. And
the fact that your daughter is there listening to everything. And
would you please don't talk about my daughter, because she would rather that you not.
But, well, that's fine, but I have to. Is she there monitoring what you're saying?
She's monitoring what I'm saying and what this gentleman's saying, what everybody.
What this caller is saying.
Yes, sir, and you, Mr. Henry. Now, I don't know where this gentleman is from that I'm talking to. You don't sound as if you come from America, sir. Are you from another country? Maybe you're from a country where they monitor your thoughts and everything. In our country, we have freedom, as you know. But
well,
not no more.
That's not what we're discussing here. We're discussing that you being racist and your kids don't even like it. And that's the reason why you went down there and you try to fix yourself up. I mean, that's the way I see it.
Yes, sir, I did.
See,
and that kid,
you said our,
Bradley, stood up.
You said,
yeah.
You said our kids nowadays are smarter than us. But one thing you have to realize, we raise our kids. They learn from us.
Statistics
says our kids are supposed to be smarter and look better than us, but that's not the way it is. You raise your kids, your kids, to tell you what they see on the radio. That guy is
In this case, this is true. I mean, my daughter looked at me and she said, "You're nothing more than a crawling bigot. You're crawling, lying bigot." And she said,
"What?"
And
your own daughter talks to you like that.
Sir, Mr. Henry, she needs to.
Steve, if you raise your kids to call you names, they're going to call you names. But if you raise your kids to be decent people, they're going to be decent people and respect.
I do.
They respect everybody.
I raise my children to tell the truth. I raise my children to tell the truth. I want to tell the truth.
Okay, so she calls you a filthy, crawling bigot. And you feel like somehow you've done a good job with that child?
Mr. Henry, she's asking me to hang up on you.
Well, Steve, either you're a man or a mouse. Either you run that house or you don't.
It's not.
See, and now she's angry that you're laughing. My daughter's very angry right now. She's angry that this guy's laughing. She wants to know what country you're from,
humor.
Sir.
I mean,
sir, my daughter wants to know what country you're from. What, honey? I'm asking him, what country are you from, sir?
Sir, it's not. It doesn't,
because she
not,
says to me, she said that she's got dollars to donuts. They pull your fingernails out down there for laughing.
Okay, all right. Jonas, very good call, and I agree with you. We raise our children. They don't raise us. They become what we, hopefully they become the best they can be through our education.
Mr. Henry, my daughter feels, I'm sorry to say, she just thinks you're doing too much talking.
Sir, I'm from Haiti.
Well, it's my
from Haiti, if you wanted to know. That's where I'm from, Haiti.
The man's from Haiti, honey. The man's from Haiti. What? Yeah, she said, so you're used to having the Tonton Macoute beat your brains in. Well, up here.
Okay, let's not talk about where this man is from. Thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You say the Tonton Macoute to people from Haiti. That's a frightening thing.
Well, my daughter, isn't that what you said? My daughter's now throwing her hands up, saying, "No, she doesn't want any part of this now, honey. You said it."
You know, I want to ask you something, Steve, and we got some more phone calls for you to take. I want to ask you something. Who's running this phone call tonight? Is it you or your daughter?
My daughter is monitoring as per the agreement with CK Corona.
But she's monitoring what? To make sure that you say the right things?
No. She's monitoring. I know what I want to say and what's in my heart. And it's what my daughter called me and what those little kids, what Bradley and what Stephanie and Maureen, all the girls and the boys and the girl and the boys at CK Corona called me today. They called me a crawling bigot. Not fit to breathe the same air. They called me a lot of things. The dregs. Degenerate.
A degenerate and the dregs.
Yeah, and they said it made them sick to breathe the same air as me. But through that, Mr. Henry, I gained an insight into myself. And the insight was that I am a bigot. And I thought it was funny that they were booing Michelle Obama because I'm a bigot.
All right, Steve, take a break. And I need a break after listening to that. The guy goes to his daughter's middle school after he was told him that he thought it was funny Michelle Obama was booed. The kids at the middle school didn't think it was funny. And among the many insults they delivered to him, they said it made them sick to breathe the same air as him. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with more of your phone calls for Stephen Bozell when we return.
Truth
on the world-famous Phil
is
Henry
our
Show.
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. More news to come on our show tonight. A few other things. Of the Republican candidates for president, are these guys like sort of brain dead when it comes to foreign policy? Is foreign policy all that important? I don't know. We may discuss that. We have a few other things up our sleeve. Right now we have Mr. Stephen Bozell with us from Corona, California, talking about the booing of First Lady Michelle Obama yesterday at a NASCAR event in Homestead, Florida, and you were called to your daughter's school after you expressed the opinion, after you laughed at her.
I didn't really express the opinion. I just laughed. I said, "Hey, look at it."
And you said, "Look at it."
Yes, sir. And that was a misstatement. But when I got to the school, they told me the truth. I mean, they said, "You said that. You're a no count stinking." The one little boy used a term that I hadn't heard in a lot of years. My grandfather used to use it. The little boy said that I'm a no-count, stinking, egg-sucking, chicken-stealing bigot.
The little boy said that, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jerry on the line. Jerry, go ahead.
Yes, Steve. I was just wondering if I told your daughter that I laughed at the same situation, if she thinks I'm a bigot as well. I happen to be married to a black woman, and I thought it was hilarious.
Betsy, what do you think? Or, I mean, but my daughter says that the woman you're married to probably has to put up with a lot of racism.
No, none whatsoever. I thought it was hilarious because here you have two women, a black woman and a white woman, obviously out of their element in their current situation in a NASCAR environment, and the people that were there used the freedom of speech and laughed at it and booed them. So I thought it was hilarious.
My daughter said, I understand that, but my daughter said that you're kind of a bigot.
I'm kind of a
but
bigot.
But he's married to a black woman.
Well, that's what he says.
So okay. What is your daughter saying to you, Steve? You know, I don't know why I have to ask what your daughter says. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to. What I think is, I'm a bigot, and this man's married to a black woman. I guess he's not.
But he was going to boo at Michelle Obama, too, if he was there.
Yeah, that's... My daughter says that the man's not telling the truth.
Your daughter says and your daughter says. Your daughter's got a lot of opinions.
I'm just trying to stay so that my daughter... You have to understand something these days. As parents, we have... Are you a parent, sir?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, there it is. So you don't even, you know...
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, you have to deal with these kids.
Well, that's
you have to deal with these kids. You have to... All I'm trying to do is make sure that my daughter doesn't hit her 18th birthday and hate my living guts. Okay, that's all I'm trying to do. And
so, in other words, what you have to do is buy your daughter off, buy her love by admitting to things maybe you don't want to admit to, by saying this, by saying that.
I'm trying to understand the world as it's seen through a generation of kids, the most intelligent generation of kids that we've ever had.
But these kids are on the internet? They're intelligent?
They're way more intelligent than us, sir, and they see things we don't ever see. And they're seeing things way beyond what we see. Huh?
When I was a kid, I went out and learned all this stuff by myself. I didn't need the internet.
Well, I know, but you're not as smart as them. Neither am I. You know?
So this generation of adults are not as smart as a kid. I heard you say that. But what does that mean when it comes to your daughter having respect for you? You have your own opinions about things. Your daughter can have hers, but she lives under your roof.
She lives under my roof? But what am I supposed to do when I got a whole classroom full of 11-year-olds calling me a crawling, filthy, egg-sucking bigot?
Because there was a white woman and a black woman there that they all booed? Joe Biden's white.
That's exactly right. But still, Joe Biden's wife is white, but she might as well be dark. The way they act.
Oh, come on, will you? Your daughter's got you running every which way but loose, man. Your daughter's got you up one side and down the next, thinking this, because of the way they act, they've got to be white or black or whatever.
Well, see, you butchered that up. What I said was black.
You said, Joe Biden's wife. In any event, 877-876-PHIL, let's go to Barbara. Hi, Barbara, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. This Barbara? Hold on, maybe this is Barbara.
Now
Barbara, is this you?
Where they took the children and the children, whatever said was.
Barbara, you start again because I didn't have the right line for you.
Taught them what they wanted to teach, and then they went against their parents. This is the same thing that's being happening here. Okay,
Barbara, you need to start again because we didn't have you on the air. We didn't have you on the air.
And calling you bigot and calling
is she
you
hearing me?
Kentucky, whatever it was.
Hold on for a minute.
That's a disgrace.
Barbara, we didn't hear any of that because we didn't have you on the air, so you have to start all over again, please.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how does that feel? That nobody even heard
before,
you.
Okay?
No, nobody even
like
heard you. You've got to start all over again.
Okay?
What?
Am I on now?
Ooh.
Well, they took the children.
Barbara, this is
Steve
Bozell. I can't hear you. Could you speak up, please?
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit louder. A little louder.
This sounds like Nazi Germany to me, where the Germans...
Would you let me do it?
And taught them and twisted their minds, and they would squeal on their parents anything. They would take them, and then the parents would have to give in to everything, okay, because of the kids. This is what it sounds like to me.
But the kids are smarter than us. What are we going to do if the kids know the way?
They're not smarter than you. They're brainwashed. To me, if that was my kid, I'd take her out of that school so fast it wasn't funny. How dare those teachers take you and put you in front of those students? How dare they? How dare your daughter call you a bigot and everything else? How dare she? She's 11 years old. Don't you have any control? You're letting those people guide your child into what she's going
to
be in the future? Can you see what she's going to be in the future? What she's going to think of you and what she thinks of everybody else?
Well,
what she thinks of the rest of her family?
My daughter just asked me to ask you to shut up.
No, I won't.
I know, but that's...
And I have a right to speak what I want to say.
That's just what she said.
We're not passing any more messages from your daughter. Do you have a comment on what the lady said?
How dare she tell me to shut up?
Well, now she's... I have to tell you this. My daughter just dragged her finger across her throat and pointed to me.
Good.
Oh, is... Man.
Good. And if that's what she's being taught, don't you realize that? She's 11 years old. Her brain is taking in everything she's being taught in that school. And those kids are the same thing. They're the ones who are the bigots. They're the ones who are the bigots.
What did that little boy call you, Mr. Bozell?
Which one? My daughter?
No, the little boy, this Bradley kid.
What the hell does he think he is? And what does he think of the Southern people by saying that? He's as bigoted as anyone else. Don't you see that?
My daughter
I would get my kid out of that school so fast it wasn't funny. I have never called a radio show before. This just got to me. It sounds like Nazi Germany brainwashing of kids. Kids going against their parents. Kids going against everyone else. Just what I think. Never mind what you think or anything else. And calling everybody else bigots and calling them all kinds of names. They're the ones who are bigoted. Don't you
get it? My daughter just said that she just pointed to the phone, meaning you, ma'am, and dragged her finger across her throat.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hey,
oh man.
Great. That's great.
Boy, oh, boy. Isn't that great?
Isn't
that great?
Wonderful.
This is exactly what the lady's talking about.
An 11-year-old girl will not listen to somebody else, what they have to say. That everyone else is bigoted, everyone else is wrong. She's right. 11 years old? Where is she getting this from?
All I'm telling you, Barbara.
From the school she's in. Don't you realize
that,
what they're doing to her?
It's
and what kind of school it is that the teachers have a nerve to call
you
and put you in?
I want to ask a question here. Yeah, now you said that this Mrs. Dorton, who's the principal, called you, right?
Yes, sir.
Play that recording for Barbara and for my listeners so they can hear exactly what it sounded like.
This was recorded on Monday of last week.
That's the recording.
Yes, sir.
So this woman calls up and breathes into the phone.
Yep.
What's that?
She's just trying to be spooky. She's trying to be spooky and scare me.
This woman. Yeah, it's nuts. It's insane.
Well, would you like somebody call up and breathe into the phone, and then you find out it's the principal at your kid's school?
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere to take you places other talk shows cannot take you. And we're doing our usual best, the best that we can tonight here. It's a Monday. This is a short week. We have Thanksgiving coming up, and Thanksgiving Day and Friday as well will be very special days here on the Phil Hendry Show, because I know we will have some very special best of shows lined up for you. In the meantime, join us here as well as on our website. We have a backstage pass for you to watch our live streaming video of our show every night. We're here and you can watch us perform the show. You can look and you can go, wow, that's pretty sad. Also, I'm wearing tonight our Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse hoodie. It is brand new in our souvenir shop. Take a look, read it and weep. Love it, love on it. Just get all over it, man.
Yeah, hunch it.
Hunch it, because it's yours in our souvenir shop and, of course, our backstage pass. 877-876-PHIL. On the line is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, whose daughter and classmates, as well as the school that his daughter attends, called him to the school early today to discuss with him his laughing at the booing of Michelle Obama in Homestead, Florida, yesterday. And, Stephen, you've heard people talking about this idea of backbone. You heard what that last lady said.
Yes, sir.
You heard her say that you have no backbone if you are allowing and is your daughter still in the room?
I can't.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes. Why can't you say whether your daughter's in the room or not? Why can't you say whether your daughter is in the room or not?
Mr. Henry, I will tell you this. You know, what I do in my home with my family is my business. I run my home the way I should.
Well, but some of us are suspecting...
Hold on. I run my home the way I should. And I laughed when Michelle Obama got booed. And I realized that not only is unpatriotic, but it also is... I mean, she's black. And these are NASCAR fans. I mean, the whole thing, it all adds up if you look right at it. They've got Confederate flags and everything. And if that ain't hillbilly, Vanek, you know.
Well, you come from Tennessee.
Yes, yeah, I do. I do come from Tennessee. And my daughter told me that I come from Tennessee. And she said, Daddy, you come from Tennessee. You already got one foot in it.
And what did she say?
So my daughter said to me that, Daddy, you come from Tennessee. You've already got one foot stuck in it already.
And stuck in what?
I'm already in enough trouble with my daughter in her class being from Tennessee.
What? Wait a second. Are they going to hold it again?
No, they're not holding it. They're not saying I should have been born. You know, I can control where I'm born, but already, because I come from Tennessee, already, they look at me like I'm an egg sucker.
Well, see, to me, that's their bigoted.
Well, my daughter's shaking her head. She's saying, no, they're not.
So, well, your daughter's shaking her head. Would your daughter like to, maybe she'd like to come on the program and talk to me about that?
You want to talk to Mr. Henry? She's laughing.
877, she's laughing, huh? 877-876-PHIL. Here is Bruce on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing today?
Fine.
What's your name again, sir?
My name is Stephen.
Stephen, hey, listen. Now, let me just real quick, I want to get this straight. Now, as from what I'm hearing, as a condition of your daughter remaining in the school, is that that's the reason that you basically call the radio station? Is that not correct?
To explain, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My bigotry. The school itself dictated for you to go on the radio show and pronounce yourself.
I wouldn't use the word dictate. I would not use the word dictate.
That seems to be what you insinuated earlier.
Exactly. It sounds like they said,
well, I'm doing what they're asking me to do in case they try to pull something.
So they asked, okay, so my whole point here, Phil, with this situation here is really, I mean, I understand that it's your show, but really this guy is a waste of time almost to be on your show. The only reason he's not a waste of time is it does spark a discussion about this whole subject. But to give any validity to anything that he's saying about being remorseful or not remorseful,
true. That's a good point. Why should we take you seriously, Mr. I think what the gentleman's saying, why should we take you seriously if you're saying you came on the show?
Well, you're getting real fancy here. What I'm saying is, yeah, I don't want to be a dirty, filthy, crawling bigot like my daughter seems to think I am, okay?
Let me ask you.
Wouldn't you do
you,
it?
Sir. Can let me ask you a question, sir, and please tell the truth. Have you ever in your life used the N-word?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Now, let's just rehash real quick. You've used the N-word. You called Michelle Obama it. You just can't. I don't know if that might be even more insulting than the N-word. Both are just horrible.
Good point.
My daughter agrees with you.
I don't need to know what your daughter's doing every 5 seconds.
I just want to say my daughter agrees with
you. The thing is, honestly, I don't need to know your daughter's opinion. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. You used the N-word, and you laughed when the situation occurred at NASCAR. You're going to tell me that it takes a classroom full of 11-year-olds to make it suddenly dawn on you that you're a bigot? You didn't know prior to this?
What do you find so funny, Mr. Andrew? I'm fascinated to know that.
The man's making a very good point. You've used the N-word. You've used the N-word. You called her it. You did this and you did that, and you don't think you're a bigot.
No, I never, ever called Michelle Obama the N-word, and I never...
No.
I never called anybody the N-word. I used the N-word one time when I hit my thumb with a hammer. I called a hammer the N-word.
That's the only time.
Yes, sir. I've never said it to nobody. I've said, like, I missed a putt once on a golf course, and I went, you N-word. And I said it pretty loud. Not that I know of.
Well, what does you mean, not that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Well, yeah, either awesome. You know what you said or...
Well, okay, you guys can say whatever you want. All I'm here to do is to fulfill my end of the bargain with Dorton so she doesn't call my
name. Right. All you're on the show to do is to clean your slate, to make yourself look better in front of your daughter.
Right.
Stay in the school. And I'm sorry, Phil, but this guy deserves zero hair time. On top of that.
Thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate it. I got to move on, but I do appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me go. You know, you've never used the N-word to a person. You did it to a hammer.
No, I'm saying that I hit my thumb with a hammer, and I went, you lousy N-word, to the hammer.
You called a hammer that. You called a missed putt that. And you yelled it on a golf course. I got to tell you something. Yelling that word... Using that word in any context means that it's something that's top of mind with you.
Mr. Henry, I've had I've had 11-year-olds calling me a crawling bigot. Now you're on my, now you're up in my face.
Well, maybe somebody needs to get up in your face. Maybe you are. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Pat. Hey, Pat, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Well, after listening to this, it might make my comment and question a little mute. But, you know...
You mean mood?
Stephen, do you,
mood.
Do you agree... Now, Michelle Obama's, she's a first lady, but she's been a very political first lady. Do you agree with that?
Well, like Hillary Clinton,
Stephen?
I guess. No.
Yes.
I guess he'll,
okay.
Like Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so do you agree
or Nancy
with the policy?
Reagan.
Do you
Nancy
agree
Reagan.
With her policy, which is run
what
more
policy?
Socialist than communist?
Well, I don't think that's what she's not a commie. That's kind of dumb. But I will say this.
Do you think she's a socialist?
Well, from what I understand about socialism and everything, probably not. But I will say that I probably tend to be more conservative and Republican and everything like this, but I just thought it was funny when she said, gentlemen, start your engines, they all boo.
Well, you know what? I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I laughed.
But I didn't do it because...
I laughed myself sick.
...of the color of her skin. I did it because of her policies. People are frustrated with her policies, which is a lot of those people that were down there. I'm sure there were bigots down there at the NASCAR race. Were they all bigots? No.
Your
daughter is butting in on this thing too much, Steve.
My daughter just thinks this lady's a bigot.
I don't want to hear about what your daughter thinks. Go on, Pat.
Okay. Well, it just sounds, you know, with this school thing, too, I says, you know something? What are you teaching her? You keep saying that you are raising your family to the best of your ability and whatever. You know, if you're truly a bigot... stand up to it. But coming out, like the last gentleman said, coming out of this show just to prove something and having your daughter sitting there lording over everything that you're saying teaches her nothing. That teaches her nothing whatsoever. It is outright sickening to hear this. It really is.
My daughter, Mr. Hendry, when my daughter drags her finger across her throat, she doesn't mean that you should kill this. She just wants to get rid of the call.
That your daughter's not telling me whether to get rid of phone calls or not, sir.
Yeah.
Your daughter is not telling me whether to get...
have the guts to get on here and say her own thing. I mean, is this really the daughter saying this, or is this Stephen just
right, that's a very good question. I think we need to...
Us.
Before we go on, I want to know, Steve, are you talking, or is your daughter?
I'm talking, but my daughter is helping me with my statement, because you have to understand, when I said Michelle Obama, when I went, ha-ha, Michelle Obama, that big-ass, you know...
What did you say about her?
I called
her. Yeah, you didn't mention that earlier.
Bigot.
Yeah, yeah.
You are a crawling bigot.
That's what I tried to tell you.
And so you're on here to show that you're sorry for saying that so your daughter doesn't get pitched out of school.
Right. But my daughter is still insistent that this lady get hung up on.
I'm not hanging up on anybody. And you are the baboon. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's the first lady of the country.
Well, this other lady said it was okay.
No, she did not.
Didn't you say that, ma'am?
No, I did not. I said
yes,
that
you,
I
you said you thought she was a baboon.
I can't stand her policy. She is a socialist. She runs along communist policies just like her husband. And it people are frustrated. And if it is a small thing to laugh at somebody for some reason like that, if you're not agreeing with their policy, respect goes two ways, and that includes within the presidency. They have not respected our country, and a lot of people were laughing down there at that because of that, not because of her color.
Well, they were booing. They were booing. They were
at that.
What?
That's what I heard you say.
Oh, you're
you said,
a liar.
Don't you, if you...
Oh,
all right, listen,
word.
Pat.
My daughter, okay, my daughter agrees. She said she heard the lady say baboon. So.
No, she did not. Pat, thank
it
you very much for
not.
Your call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
Okay, so I'm just being dismissed as a nut.
Yeah, pretty much, Steve, because you're making some wild claims now, and this whole baboon thing, man, that completely changes everything.
I didn't call her that. I just said that to get rid of this woman. My daughter told me to.
Your daughter told you to say, to get rid of what?
To get rid of the lady, because you weren't going to hang up on her. My daughter said to me, she whispered to me, she said, Teddy, say that you called her a baboon.
Put him on hold before I lose my freaking mind!
I didn't do anything.
I know, but 877-876-PHIL is the number here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, on the people that booed Michelle Obama. And the reasons for this, Mr. Bozell laughed at the booing. He laughed and was called to his daughter's school and basically read the riot act for laughing and being a bigot and everything else. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
6923 or visit naturesyouth.com. Do it today.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I never said baboon.
Well, then why did you tell me that you said baboon?
I just said that because my...
Your daughter, man, I need for her to stop...
I can talk to my own daughter if I want to, Mr. Hendry.
That's fine, okay? But if you are saying things, then you say them. If your daughter is telling you to say them, then attribute them to your daughter. Let me ask you something. Is that what the kids asked you to say today?
Mr. Hendry, you know, I'm a father. And
did those kids ask you to say that?
They did not ask me to say that. They said that that's what I essentially said.
So now what we have is a bunch of kids in a classroom who did not like you laughing at Mrs. Obama being booed.
And I was, because if you think about it... And
no, you were not. You laughed at her.
If you think about it, it makes more sense. Again, I can't stress this enough, and I think a lot of your callers are missing the point. Today's generation of kids and the children that are going to school now and are coming out of school and are becoming in the professionalism, in the professional life and everything, they are way, way, way smarter than we'd ever want to be. And if my daughter and I, who I've...
So your daughter is so smart that you will allow her to say to you, Father, even though you're a man, and I don't know how old you are, Steve, you don't have to tell me, but you're much older than your daughter, I'm sure. If she says, Father, you don't go, yes, daughter, you must be right.
No, sir, I don't say that.
Well, that's however you say it.
I have to take into consideration the mind of these kids today. The mind of it is... Their minds are way beyond anything that we know about.
Well, look, man, we're not talking about aliens here, okay?
No, I know. I'm not trying to be silly, Mr. Henry. I'm just simply saying to you that the kids today are way far evolved or advanced.
877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to go to a phone call here. We have Betsy on the line. Hello, Betsy. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
Yes. I really... opportunity for this, and I have a bit of a different perspective, and I'm going to be real quick and real concise in this. I was born in the West. Excuse me.
Turn that tape off, please. That's the tape of that Dorton.
Yes, sir.
Turn it off, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was born in Southern California. Excuse me. Okay.
I'm hearing that tape, Mr. Bozell.
My daughter, honey, you've got to turn that tape on.
Oh boy, this daughter of yours.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There is, and I'm going to say something directed towards your daughter. There is something called respect, and that is a huge thing that is the essence of a lot of things, and that is called respect. I was born in Southern California, but I live on the East Coast, sir. So I know a lot about, and I've lived three quarters of my life here. I work in the school system. I have children that are 19 and older. Okay. As far as what you're talking about, what you have been called, and I won't even repeat the words. But I, when I was in living in Southern California, I was in the I'm going to date myself, but in the age of the Watts riots, and I won't tell you what my father. Excuse me, but I don't.
If that child, tell that child to turn that off, okay?
My daughter has a message for the caller.
No, your daughter has no message for the caller. Go ahead, ma'am.
Am I being wrong?
No, you're not being wrong, dear. You're being. I'm telling Mr. Bozell to tell his daughter to stop playing that tape and to allow my caller to speak. You're fine, Betsy.
Thank you. I'm just trying to say something to the young lady. For one, I also realize the fact that I'm 3 hours later than the time that it is on the West Coast.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Bear with me that it's a little late.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine, and you've been interrupted. And I will hold you over if this continues.
My daughter simply wanted to tell the lady to blow it out her mouth.
I know.
Is that what she wanted to say?
I know what she's wanting to say. But sir, you need to realize... No, I'm sorry. I got distracted. Sir, may I ask one question? Is your daughter... I suspect your daughter is in a private school versus a public school.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that is exactly my point. Because if your daughter was in a public school, there is no way that you'd ever be treated the way you are now. You are being bullied by the private school. Everybody talks about being bullied. You are being bullied by the private school. They are bullying.
You know something? Is your daughter on the extension?
Honey, get off the extension. Okay, April, get off the extension.
No, he's right there. He's probably on the speakerphone.
Yeah. All right, hold on for a second, Betsy, and Mr. Bozell, you as well. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell and the people that booed Mrs. Obama. Quite an evening of controversy here on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Stephen Bozell is still on the line with us from Corona, California. We have Betsy, who we have held over because... I don't believe that your daughter, Mr. Bozell, is acting like a young lady, and I don't believe you're exercising the proper authority over that child so that she's not playing tapes of Mrs. Dorton breathing into the phone, and she's not playing fart sounds, which I just heard.
I don't think that's my daughter, sir.
That's your daughter. So, Betsy, go ahead and make your comments.
Okay, well, I laid the initial groundwork because I did want him to understand that I truly do understand and comprehend the issue of his background being the East Coast, my ex-husband being from Virginia, so I know the East Coast, West Coast, you know, kinds of issues, sorts of things, and those issues are valid. Okay.
What? I don't understand.
Excuse me?
I don't understand. West Coast, East Coast. All I know is that my daughter, you know, and you know, she told me. I mean, she said that I had used that I was a racist, and I said, "All right." All I did was laugh, and she said, "You know,
well,
her and the kids, they called me an egg sucker." You know.
Well, the comments that you were saying were implying that you were from the South and that you didn't have the issues.
Yeah. She said you were from Tennessee, right?
Well, yeah. She said I already had one foot in it. As far as Mrs. Dorton, when she found out I was from Tennessee, Mrs. Dorton wanted to just go ahead and, you know, keep making the phone calls.
And when she calls and breathes into the phone?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's a way of intimidating parents.
Stop. Right there. Mrs. Dorton, when she makes that comment, that in itself, we talk about bullying. That's the child.
Yeah, see, that's the little girl doing that.
Okay, we talk a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We talk a lot.
my daughter's, the other thing that my daughter said, and I'm sorry to have to bring this up, because I'm going to bring it up. No, I am going to bring it up. My daughter said to me that if we don't get behind the NBA, that we're all racists. And
no.
The NBA.
Because they're out on strike. So they made it into a much bigger thing. They said, because I'd laughed at Miss, that proves that I'm.
Oh, well, you got to be. You know, all right, look at Betsy, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And you've been very patient and very smart with your comments. I got to hear this, okay?
But I had said earlier, and I had made that point.
That if you aren't supporting the players.
My daughter asked me, and the kid said, are you an NBA fan? I said, no, I'm not really. I'm a football fan. And they said, even though the Grizzlies moved to Memphis, and I said, you know, what is this? You know, because I couldn't.
They're asking you questions like that.
Yeah. And that's when they said, if you don't support the NBA, black players represent about 80% or 85% of the NBA, then that proves you're a racist because you can't even get behind the NBA. And little Bradley stood up and said, don't you think they're 7-foot freaks? Because he'd heard some comments earlier. I said, no, I do not. He said, well, I heard somebody say that. I said, that was another individual who had been on your program, Mr. Henry, Mr. Griego.
Yeah.
His daughter goes to school here, too. And Mr. Griego apparently had gotten too much to drink and said that he thought these guys in the NBA were 7-foot freaks. And I said, and that's when I repeated that joke about 7-foot janitors, all this. The whole thing turned into, I'm a racist.
You're a racist because you laughed when Mrs. Obama got booed, and you're a racist because you don't follow the NBA, and you don't support the players in the strike.
That's correct, yes, sir.
And so the kids now just have you branded as a racist, and I can't imagine that this phone conversation that we're having tonight is going to go very far in rehabilitating your image there, because you've come out and have basically said that you are intimidated by them, that you're saying these things, just like that gentleman said, you know.
Mr. Henry,
don't tell me what your daughter is thinking, okay? I don't want to hear what your daughter's thinking. You going to tell me what your daughter's going to say? Is that it?
She said you're talking too much.
You tell your daughter I'm going to keep right on talking, okay? She might as well settle in for the night or whatever she's going to do, because Phil's going to have a lot to say. Because I see through her, and I see through your school, and your Mrs. Dorton, and this woman who calls people up and breathes into the phone to... I don't know why you got your kid in a school like that, you know?
You have to understand, though, that what the children had told me today at the school...
What the children told you today at the school was such a such an incredible load of insult and deprecation and everything else. Those kids were just insulting you. Now they're telling you if you're not into the NBA, you're a racist.
Because of the fact that most of the players are black, yes, sir. You have to understand, Mr. Henry, these kids...
You're going to tell me again about these kids. You've been sounding the same note here, Steve. You've been saying the kids are really smart, and the kids are really brilliant, and so they know better than any of us. And on top of that, you really meant baboon. And on top of that, because you don't support you don't support the NBA, you're a racist, and Mrs. Dorton's going to breathe into the phone.
Well, all right, Mr. Henry, then you try answering a phone at 2 o'clock in the morning when someone when a woman wants to breathe into it. And that's what she's been doing. Go ahead, play it for me, okay? No, honey, play it.
No, I don't want her to play that.
No, sir, play it. Received Monday morning, 2:30 a.m.
You know, I asked you not to play that. You went ahead and played it.
I want you to understand what I'm up against. Erica Dorton has been breathing into my phone. Okay, honey, don't do that anymore, okay?
All right, Steve, I'm going to put you on hold because you got no control over that little girl. And any man that is essentially blackmailed into giving an opinion on a talk show by a daughter and by other students at a school for the entitled, a bunch of little kids that are calling you a racist, a bunch of little kids that are putting words into your mouth, a bunch of little kids that are... messing around with your phone call to a radio station, a phone call that they asked you to make, sir. And when your argument about Michelle Obama is making too much sense, then they move on to the fact that you don't support the NBA strike. And the fact that you are from Tennessee, so why don't you get behind the Grizzlies? And a bunch of other hoo-ha that, for my money, doesn't amount to a hill of crap. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be right back here with more from Stephen Bozell, your phone calls, and other news in our News and Information Hour this Monday night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could. And believe me when I tell you, they wish they could, but they can't. And but it is ours. It is ours alone. Ours is not to do or die. Ours is to do or die. Something like that, right, bud?
Yeah.
Now, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show every night, and we're on video right now. We're on Phil TV in HD. Stephen Bozell has been with us and kind enough to stay with us for a couple of hours, but you owe us some explanations, Mr. Bozell, as to your political point of view. You laughed at Michelle Obama getting booed. You thought it was funny. Your kid's school called you on the carpet in front of the class. The kids insulted you. They called you a bigot. They called you an egg-sucking, chicken-stealing, crawling bigot, is what you said. You say that the kids are putting words into your mouth, and your daughter is sitting there with all of these sound effects.
She had the phone call from Mrs. Dorton.
She's got this Mrs. Dorton breathing into the phone, and she's been playing it left and right on the show, and I've told you that I don't want to hear it again. 877-876-PHIL. Here is April. Go ahead, April. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Phil, thank you. My comment is, I don't know, it seems like the child, his daughter, is there something wrong with her or something? Like, how in the world can you
grown? My daughter, is there something wrong with her? Other, if you call having a high IQ.
That doesn't sound like a high IQ to me. That sounds like a troubled child. If daughter is telling her father what to do and what not to do, and you're sitting there saying that, you're raising your child to be honest and to have all this type of integrity and respect, and she doesn't even respect you. That's crazy. That is crazy.
No, ma'am. She has respect for me. She just knows where I'm way off base. I mean, she just knows when you and I or Mr. Henry or whoever, whatever the adult is, she just knows, and we don't know it from a hole in the ground, if you catch my meaning. And what I'm saying is,
So she sets you straight, is that it?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, but I'm talking to the lady, and I'm saying, go ahead, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you.
How old is she?
Can I tell the lady how old you are? 11.
Can I tell the lady how old you are? Isn't that what you just asked your daughter?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Nice. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Excuse me, ma'am. You're a woman. You know that women's vanity. How many times you like men asking you how old you are? You don't, okay?
She's an 11-year-old girl. She's not a woman.
That is an 11-year-old child. She is not a woman. She's not a teenager. She's not a young woman. She's an 11-year-old child. She's not even supposed to have the same rationality. It's like she's got way more sense than you do.
Well, ma'am, I consider that to be an insult.
Oh, no, you think that's an insult, but all night long you've been telling me how brilliant your daughter is. This generation of kids are way more smart than we are.
Well, way more smart. Nice grammar.
You know something, Mr. Bozell? Right now, my grammar is not in question here. It's your sanity as to whether you have a...
My sanity. My sanity's
exactly
in question. Why is that? Why is that? I mean,
sanity is putting it in a nice way. Mr. Phillips,
ma'am, can I tell you... I heard on the news tonight, ma'am, a lady called up 911 when her chicken McNuggets wasn't done the way she wants them to. She calls up 911, and you think I'm crazy? I'm trying to raise my daughter to be not to make a call like that. If I can get my daughter to grow up and not at least not call 911 because her McNuggets aren't done right.
If you can
that
get
is
your
not
kid
even
to...
relevant. That has nothing to do. That's not even relevant to what we're even talking about. That has nothing to do with some McNuggets not being cooked right.
Well, no, ma'am, but Mr. Henry was saying that somehow my daughter has not been raised right.
No, yeah, well, Mr. Bozell, to the extent that you have no control over her.
Do I get to talk to this nice lady, Mr. Hinder? Do I got to keep talking to you? My daughter.
If your daughter is 11 years old, and she is running the household. Obviously, you wear no pants in the house. Obviously.
Excuse me, but I do wear. Ma'am, all I'm saying is that when Michelle Obama got booed, I laughed. Then my daughter told me I was a racist. I realized that I was wrong when I went down and talked to Bradley, who basically called me out as a bigot and a Klansman. And
well, this little kid, this 11-year-old kid called you a Klansman.
Yes, sir. So I apologized. I come back.
You all need therapy.
They tell me that I'm not yet, as they call it, cleansed. And I said, what do I do to be cleansed? And they said, what do you think of the NBA strike?
So the kids were giving you some litmus test on race, according to them, which is, are you in favor of Michelle Obama, and are you behind the NBA strike? And somehow that means your race relations are correct.
If I'm on the right side of it.
And you sit there like an idiot, and you follow this.
So now you get it said. Took you a while to get it said, but you finally said it, didn't you? I'm an idiot.
Took me a while?
Yes.
I think I've been basically...
Yes, you are. I'll say it. You are an idiot. To the... His power. Yes, you are.
Okay, great.
And that's putting it nice.
Oh, you work your fingers to the bone.
You work your fingers to the bone in what? And you let your daughter run roughshod. What's your daughter telling you right now?
She's laughing.
Yeah, I'll bet she is, man. I'll bet she's laughing her rear end off. I bet you she thinks this whole night has been a hoot. I got money that says she's recorded it. I got money that says she'll meet her friends at school tomorrow, and they'll play the tape back.
Oh, God.
I bet you that's what they're going to do.
So you think they made a monkey out of me?
Pretty much, dude. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, man. And on top of that, your daughter, there she is laughing. If you're any kind of a father, what is it, on the West Coast right now, it is 10 minutes to 12. You should get that child to bed.
Some children do not need a curfew. How many times I got to say this? Some children don't need a curfew.
11-year-old kid should be in bed on a school night before 10 o'clock.
Oh, says you.
Yeah, well, anyway, ma'am, thanks for your call very much. I appreciate it. Let's move on here. Who do we have? I don't know who we got here. I don't know if it's Bill or something. Is this Bill?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Ozell.
Was that Bozell or Bozo?
Isn't that funny? What's your name, Bill or Wilhelmina?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Bill?
Yeah, I wanted to get back to why people were
laughing
or whatever at Obama.
Well, I thought she was funny looking when they booed her, but my kid told me no. So I said, fine, whatever. That's how I got straightened out on it. How'd you get straightened out?
Well, I think the people booing were booing at Mr. Obama.
I used to love NASCAR. And now my kids have told me that NASCAR ain't no good. It's no good. It won't be for a long time until they clean it up.
Now we're back on NASCAR. I thought we were talking about people laughing at Obama.
No, we're talking about people booing her. Don't you know what happened in the news the other day? It's been all over the news. Mrs. Obama showed up at the NASCAR event.
The reason why they booed her, I don't think they were booing her. I think they were booing what she stood for. The president.
Yeah, she's the president. Yeah, well... but she's the president of the United States. That's the symbol of the office of the presidency. That's what my kids are saying. And they're saying that when you boo it, you might as well be assassinating him.
Oh, get out of here. That's the most asinine. I mean, booing is booing, okay? You might as well be assassinating him.
That's what my kids, the kids at middle school told me. You boo the president, you might as well just be saying, I hope you die.
That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. The American people have a long history of sometimes acting very emotionally in the face of the office of the president. They've done it many times. I'm sure they'll do it again. And many times we are very dignified, you know.
Yeah, well. I'll tell you, last time I saw anybody dignified was when John Kennedy's casket was going down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh.
Bet you that hurts.
You know, you better stop talking about stuff like that, okay?
The guy's a bigot. That's all he wants to talk about.
I'm not a bigot. I was, but not anymore. Not since my daughter straightened me out, and not since Dorton breathed into my phone, okay?
Not since Dorton breathed into your phone.
That's right.
All right, Bill, thanks very much. Thanks very much for your phone call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, here with Stephen Bozell. You know, you've been dragging this out for so long, I had to turn the fan on in the studio because I'm getting a little hot under the collar listening to your horse dung, okay? And you ought to watch the way you talk.
Look, I'm caught between you and my daughter. I'm caught between you and the kids from Children of the Damned.
Oh, the kids from Children of the Damned. I was going to wonder how long it was going to take for you to get around to that one, huh?
Well, it's like that. What are you laughing at?
So in other words, is your daughter a little blonde girl with brown eyes?
Yes.
And let me ask you a question. Your wife got pregnant when you'd been out of town for 2 years.
As a matter of fact, yes.
I guess your daughter is the spawn of an alien.
Well, the shoe fits. Ain't that right, honey? Now she looks pissed. Okay, thanks a lot.
Get out of here before I go nuts! I will tell you this. If you let your kids rule the roost, you know, and Mr. Bozell, he may just be the tip of the iceberg, you know. You go into some homes and you've got the precocious little girl or the precocious little boy. Mother, father, don't you ever, and don't do that, and don't, you know. I don't know, maybe the kids just are allowed to do it. Mr. Bozell is allowed in his home to have his daughter run him ragged. And now, you know, he's a bigot because he's not in behind the NBA strike. All right. We are going to do our news and information hour. There's some other news going on, I believe, in the world. One of the stories that I thought was rather interesting is foreign policy knowledge important for the Republican candidates for president. I can't believe the headline is very unfortunate. I think it is. I don't know, but then again, I may be old-fashioned when it comes to presidential candidates. Republican candidates face foreign policy challenge. Republican presidential contenders have made slamming Obama's economic policies a key theme of 2012, but criticizing his national security record is going to be a tougher sell, according to foreign policy experts. Well, that's the truth. But you know what? It's going to be a much, much harder row to hoe for all of them for a lot of reasons. And one of them is the fact that while President Obama may not be doing the job people want him to do, the Republican Party has yet to rise to the challenge of offering something that's got anybody's imagination working overtime at all. We'll talk about it at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show next hour.
Phil Hendry.
Ain't you gonna have me on for 3 hours?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Where's the guy? Let me get him up on the line here. Welcome back here, folks. 877-876-PHIL. And it is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. What is your name?
Ian, Phil.
Your name is Ian. Ian, welcome to our... Your name's Ian, right?
Yes, sir.
And welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much. I was listening to the gentleman a moment ago. He's talking about watching NASCAR, and I don't know quite what to say about that. It's not anything I want to see, that's for sure.
NASCAR.
Yes, sir. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I live in America now, but I'm watching this NASCAR racing is not... I don't think it's all that, what it's cracked up to be, you know.
It's not what?
It's not always cracked up to be, you know.
What do you not like about NASCAR racing, sir? And I take it, by the way, that you're from England?
Yes, sir.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Wiltshire, which is south of London.
What's it called, Wiltshire?
Wiltshire.
Okay.
It's south of London. It's in Wiltshire on Tyne, on the Tyne River.
Okay. And what is it about NASCAR that you don't like?
Well, it's not that don't like NASCAR. It's not what it's all cracked up to be. It's all. It's not like if the car's going around in circles, right? Just going around in circles, right? It's not like there's no excitement that way, right? It's not like you've got to know how to drive the car, like put the brakes on and all this, right? It's like all you do is go around in a circle, and you look a bit like you have to be like daft. You don't want to do that all the time.
You have to be what? Daft?
Well, yeah, it's all right. Have, you know, have all that speed, but the speed's not really part of the race. If all you're doing is go around in a circle, and you get dizzy, watch a race like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
My experience, anyway.
Do you like auto racing?
I like auto racing. I like if it's like a road race, you know, what we call a road race.
Road racing is in Europe.
It's not like it's Europe. They've got road racing in America. They got road racing. I saw road racing in Canada. Right, and,
oh, I know, but I mean, it is a favorite of European race fans because a road race has a lot of different turns and.
Right, it takes more, like, skill, like that, you know, to drive on a road race, but it's, as opposed to just going around like you're off your nutter, you know, you're going in circles. I'm driving my car in circles. It's not any challenge.
Well, but I suppose people that like NASCAR racing or any kind of racing that goes in circles. What about the Indy?
What about Indy? It's the same thing. It's going in circles. You know.
Well, it's not. It's a different kind of car, though.
It doesn't make any difference if it's a different kind of car. It's still going in circles. All going left all the time. They try to make an Indy car, which they try to make it look like it's a Formula One car. It's not a Formula One car at all. It's not got any of the features of a Formula One car. It's an Indy car, which in my estimation makes it a lot more inferior, right?
Okay.
It's not as difficult to drive as a Formula One car. It's a stupid car. I'm not trying to be offensive or anything. I think America's got a lot of wonderful things about it, but just its motorsports, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Right. So it's when that chap Corey's talking about NASCAR and how they booed Mrs. Obama, they should have booed themselves for being at the race, is my opinion.
They should have booed themselves for being at the race, huh?
That's right. Should have booed themselves for being at such a silly event as that, is my opinion, is all. But I like a lot about America, though, you know.
What sporting, is there any sports you like in America?
I like American football a lot.
You like American football?
Well, I like American football a lot. I got a favorite team is the Miami Dolphins, is what I like.
You like the Dolphins, huh?
Right. You know, it's where I live. And
Do you live in Miami?
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I haven't followed the Dolphins this year. I don't think they're doing very well.
They're not doing good, that's for sure, but I still enjoy following the Dolphins. I like to follow the football, you know. It's a lot of fun to watch that. And sometimes I go and I watch ice hockey, you know. I do hockey in England, but it's not as good as what you've got here. And like that, but I'm just not going to go see no NASCAR because you've got to be out of you've got to be off your nut. You know, look at a race like that; it's going in circles like that.
Well, I mean it's the American way, and they say that the reason why Americans like NASCAR racing and oval track racing in general is Americans are. We like a stadium-style events. We want to be able to sit in one place and see everything that's going on, you know.
Right. You don't want to follow the race. You don't want no sport. You want everything easy for you. And you want to be able to...
Well, I mean, a lot of people just think, you know, that's the best way to follow. A sport is at its best when it's easy for the fan to follow, when all of the action takes place in an area that we can cover with our eyes.
That's right. It's not like... challenging that way, you know. You never learn nothing. You never learn nothing about the sport. You never learn nothing about how difficult it is to do the sport. You just sit there and you look at the track. You look at the cars go around in circles. You know.
Well, what about soccer? That's pretty.
I hate soccer. I hate soccer ever since Beckham came to America. I despise soccer with all of my life. With everything that my life means, I despise it. And you know why I despise it? Because of Beckham. Beckham, he's the one that I despise more than anything.
Why?
Because he married Posh, didn't he? He married Posh, didn't he? And he took out probably the finest one of the Spice Girls off the market. And the rest of them, just real slapper ugly, you know. Not worth it, right? But except for Posh Spice, she was worth it. And Beckham, he married her. And then he goes to America, make all his money. And I hate everything about soccer because of Beckham.
All right. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get you on early enough to talk about Steve Bozell.
It doesn't matter. I've said what I want to say, and I'd say it again. And I'd have to talk to now Steve Bozell to tell you that I think NASCAR is ridiculous going around in a circle like that. But I tell you, I hate soccer, so you know that I'm not. It's not about me being English. Right?
No, I know that. You hate soccer and you hate NASCAR.
That's right.
All right, well, Ian, thank you for calling, and the very best of luck to you.
Best of luck with what? What the best of luck with what? With just my life?
Yeah, just the best of luck with your life.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much. I didn't know what you meant by the best of luck, you know.
Well, the best of luck with everything that you have to do.
What have I got? You know what I've got to do? Is that what that means? Or?
No, just the best of luck with your life.
Just the best of luck with my life, but you don't really know what I've got to do.
No, I don't. I don't have any information on what you have to do.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with your idioms. And
no, I understand that. I just do have very good luck to you, and I hope you have a great life. You know,
it's not like you know what my life is going to be, though, right?
No, I don't know what your life's going to be. I don't know what your life's going to be.
But you say best of luck with my life. You don't know really what my life... You don't know if I'm going to die tomorrow.
No, I don't know anything about it. I hope you don't die tomorrow. I hope you live a long life, you know.
Well, if you hope I live a long life, you don't want me to live a long life if I'm a murderer. If I'd be a murderer, you wouldn't want me to live a long life.
No, I don't want you to live a long life if you're a murderer. I hope you live a long life. I hope you have a happy life. I hope everything is fine.
Right. All right. Hold on. I need more soap, and I also want to give them... All right, I'm running some more.
That's fine. You have a nice bath. Have a nice bath, man. See you later.
Troy.
Would you turn that guy off?
You're having a pretty good conversation until the very end.
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know why I wasted all the time I did with that guy. NASCAR, great, bad, indifferent. But saying goodbye to that jackball. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be back with our news and information hour, like I promised, in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Here in our news and information hour, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. What, Bud?
Did you see that guy? You should have asked him about Australian football or something.
Australian football, huh? That guy was from England.
You know, he come from Australia. I thought he said he came from Australia.
No, he didn't say ever that he came from Australia. He was from England. Okay.
Should I ask about Australian, though?
What about Australian?
Well, Australian was football.
What about it?
You ever seen Australian football?
Yeah, I've seen Australian rules football.
Wait, it takes way more than to play American.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe you're right. You know, Bud, maybe you're right.
It does. Have you ever seen Australian football?
I've seen Australian rules football, yes. Yes, I have. And I've heard that it really takes some cojones to play that.
Well, Doc, man, if you tell, look at that. They don't wear no helmet or nothing.
No kidding? How many times have I told you I've seen Australian rules football, and I've seen that they don't have to wear a helmet? Okay?
What are you getting all upset about just because it takes more cojones?
Well, does it really? How do you know it takes more cojones to play Australian rules football?
Because a lot of guys that play American football say it do.
I've never heard one guy that plays American football say that. I've heard a lot of people that watch Australian rules football and watch American football say that Australian rules football takes more cojones, but I've never heard an American football player say that. Ever.
Yeah, well...
Are you kidding me? You're cheating. You know it does.
No, I don't know it does. Listen, let me just, you know, first of all, if you take an Australian rules guy and you put him up against the size guys that we have in the NFL.
No, man, they're the same size.
No, they're not the same size. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not 6 foot six, 330 pounds. No, sir. They ain't 6'7".
You're just talking about offensive line.
Well, really? Well, let me tell you something about the offensive line. Those dudes knock you down, too. That's number one. 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", in some instances, well over 300 pounds. Okay, and because the guys that play American football are wearing that padding, they're coming at a much higher rate of speed. Okay, do you understand? So they're flying. They're flying. And, you know...
You're not making the case very good.
No, you're not, man. If you made the case better, you know...
Well, what do you mean I'm not making the case very good? I just don't think that it's true. I just don't think it's true. I just don't believe... That I think that if you look at American football and you see all the padding that our guys wear, okay, I believe it's because the size of the players on average is bigger. And I also believe that the speeds at which these guys are hitting are much greater. I think you have defenders coming at you at a higher rate of speed, and they're coming at you with, I think, far more abandon. Then the Australian guys, I'm not saying those guys don't have guts. None of this has got anything to do with guts. I'm not saying they haven't got guts. I'm not saying they aren't tough. Obviously, you got to be tough to play that. But when you guys say it takes more cojones, I mean, I don't buy it.
You know what you ought to do is tell American football, go down and play Australian rules.
You know, there's a lot of American footballers that go down and play Australian rules football. They don't play it professionally because it's not in their contract. But a lot of, I mean, they wouldn't be allowed to do that. But a lot of American footballers, when they've retired or what have you, have gone and played the game just, you know, I don't know, either in an exhibition. I don't think they've played professionally because they're obviously not of the caliber of player that they need down there. But that has nothing to do with how tough they are. It has to do with how well you've mastered the sport, how well you play it. You know,
what's all you got to do is run around a circle because that circle field, too, that's got to be tougher.
Why does a circle field, you know, you say stuff, bud, none of it makes any sense.
Well, you're trying to find fault with it.
Well, tell me why a circle field makes it tougher.
So you don't want to know if you're out of bounds or anything.
I won't know if I'm out of bounds, huh? Is a circle field is it drawn out?
What do you mean drawn out?
How do I know I'm in the circle? There must be some chalked out markings.
Yeah.
And if I go outside of the circle, I guess I'm out of bounds.
No, it's way tougher.
Is it really?
Yeah, you gotta figure out circles.
You guys are really weird, man. You're all impressed with the fact that they play on a circle. That must mean I don't know. Wow, you know.
Yeah, the other thing is they kick the ball while they're running and everything.
Oh, get out of here, will you, bud? Why don't you learn something, man?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? What's so tough about kicking a ball while you're running with it? Those guys, that's the other thing. They play with a way bigger ball. You know, that thing, it looks like, I don't know what the hell that thing is. Like kicking a freaking volleyball or something. Who knows what that thing, what kind of leathers that? I mean, they're throwing that thing, they're kicking that thing, they're all kinds of stuff, man. You take an American football, the size of an American football, and try to kick that thing accurately through some goalposts while on the run. You know?
But it can't be that hard.
Maybe it ain't. Maybe it's not that hard to do at all. You know. But you've yet to make the argument for me that Australian rules football is tougher.
Yeah, what if I got an NFL player and he said so?
Okay, fine. If you got an NFL player who will say to me on this show that it's a tougher game, then I'll buy it. I'm not saying it's not a good game. I watch it. I watch it when they got it on ESPN. You know, what is that? What do they do? What's it called, Robert?
They call it the final. They had a final on... they have it on a final Saturday in September.
Yeah.
Final Saturday in September, they have the Australian... Is it the Australian Football League?
Yeah, it's the AFL, as they call it. And they got a lot of teams and everything, and then they have the championship final.
Cool. I mean, it all sounds really cool. And it's the national sport of the good people of Australia, and God bless them. And I ain't saying it doesn't take you-know-whats. But this stuff about you guys, you know something, you get talked into all kinds of, ooh, man, they don't wear pads or anything. Maybe they don't wear pads because they don't need them. Have you thought about that?
You gotta be kidding me, man. I've seen the way they run into some of those guys. It's pretty fast.
Yeah, it looks fast. It looks brutal. And those cats are in some pretty decent shape. They're in obviously far better than just decent shape. I mean, they're ripped and they're muscular and they're good, you know, they're good specimens. But those same guys running up against a dude that's about 6'8" and, you know, 380 pounds and trying to get around that guy. What if they had to get through blockers that were that size to tackle the guy that they want to tackle? Okay? What if they had to get through blockers? Like, what if they had to survive the rush of guys that are 6'6" and almost 300 pounds coming at you like a bat out of hell, and you got to run away from them? You know, you think those guys would get up from that? I mean, all I'm trying to tell you is there are certain differences here. I will submit to you that if an Australian rules guy got tackled by, let's just say, I'm going to give you right now, let's take two defensive ends, because this has happened many times in professional football. Two typical NFL defensive ends, good ones, and they rush and tackle both at the same time one Australian rules guy. I don't think you'll get up.
Get out of here. They get way. Are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy. I don't think that guy would get up.
Well, are you saying he'd be unconscious?
No, I'm saying he would have a dislocated shoulder. I'm saying he'd have a busted collar. He'd have a clavicle that's shattered. There'd be something wrong with him. I'm not saying he'd be unconscious. But I guarantee you that guy gets tackled by two big NFL defensive ends. And he doesn't get up because he's got either a broken, his shoulder's dislocated, collarbone's busted, something.
I don't know.
Well, that's the first smart thing you've said all night. I don't know. You're like everybody I talk to, bud. Oh, wow, Australian rules football, man. All right. So now that's another 15 minutes I wasted. I want to get to this Republican thing.
Why don't you talk about it? I'm not keeping you from doing it.
Because you started yapping about Australian rules football. Well, while we have these moments together, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to visit the website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. With your backstage pass, you have access to our live video casts each and every night, the podcast that comes the next day right into your iPod. You have access to thousands of hours of archived material, thousands of character clips. You have access to our comment stream, as well as our blogs, as well as our Ted and Bobby blogs. And, of course, you can see all of the archived video of TV shows and TV projects and pilots and radio and TV interviews that we've done and so on and so forth. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Make sure you stop by our souvenir shop and get your Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, man. There it is. And these are available right now. These are our hoodies, you know. And they're going like hotcakes, man. We sell a lot of those, aren't we?
Yeah, a lot of people buy them. Especially on account of the Christmas.
So they're going pretty fast. So pick yours up. And if you are watching on Phil TV in HD, there it is. And if you're not, you can just well imagine. Not imagine. Go over to the shop and take a look at it at philhenryshow.com. We also have these classic podcasts that are in the left-hand column. And one of them is the all-time all-you-can-eat blankety-blank. Plus, Plane Go Boom and Lloyd Gets Teabagged by the Neighbor's Cat. You don't want to miss that one. We got a few of our video rants are up there for you. And like I said, we have Bobby and Ted's blog and in our news feed. So philhenryshow.com, that is the online home of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we have the Republican candidates facing this foreign policy challenge. Well, I'll find out what the hell that's about. And some other kind of weird-ass news, including a woman. You know what? I'll just say it, and then we'll talk. Some North Carolina woman has shot 5 kids in the head, killing 2. Why is this? Because her love triangle went wrong. The kids have to die. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And if you join us Saturday nights on Phil TV and HT, in HD, what's HT? That's
high tissue.
Yeah.
High tissue.
Shut up. Shut up.
That's so funny. I guess that means we wipe with it, huh?
Yeah. Shut up. Sound like a sound gay.
When I keep bugging me, man, it's what's going to happen, you know.
Grow up.
Oh, I got to grow up. I got to grow up. I like that one. You talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
You shouldn't talk about black people and stuff.
Black people? Are you out of your mind? I said calling the pot calling the kettle black ain't got nothing to do with black people. What a moron. Now what?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall. Yes, David.
What are you bugging him for?
Bugging him? He's been bugging me all night. All night long with his comments. Blah, 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 blah.
What is this racism he's talking about?
Ain't no racism. Ask Robert.
Well, he did call something black.
Who are you calling black?
I said, ain't that the pot calling the kettle black?
I don't know. I turned it on and I heard you making fun of black people.
Oh, get out of here.
What are you baiting him for?
This jackball is sitting here making fun of me, butting in this, that, okay?
Yeah, but he was telling you all about Australian rules football.
Oh, he was telling me all about it. Was that what he was doing? He was telling me all about it? I was telling him all about it. He brought the subject up.
I thought you were going to talk about how the Republicans are blowing it.
I ain't going to talk about the will you hang up on this guy?
You're not supposed to hang up on him.
Oh, really? Well, I just did, bud. So why don't you go in the back, write your little report. I bet that's what you do, man.
You'd probably go back and write a report and everything.
I'm going to tell on you.
Go ahead and tell on me. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kind of infantile stuff that we have to deal with. All right, now. Republican candidate, although I must admit I was very infantile there myself. Republican candidates face foreign policy challenge. What happened to my reading specs? All right, Republican candidates face foreign policy challenge. Republican presidential contenders have made slamming President Obama's economic policies a key theme of the 2012 election. But criticizing his national security record is going to be a tougher sell, according to foreign policy experts. One of the things that, and I do try to keep an open mind on this, but it was a bad moment, I think, for GOP leaders when the president announced the killing of Osama bin Laden. And at that particular time, I have to tell you, folks, when I first heard that Osama bin Laden had been killed, I wasn't thinking of the politics of the president. I wasn't thinking of the political party that he belonged to. I was thinking of the U.S. military. I was thinking of the national security people. In other words, my mind went to the security apparatus of the country and how well it had performed. And the president is naturally at the top of that. But I didn't think, wow, a bunch of Democrats killed, you know, Osama bin Laden. You know, I mean, just that's insane. So I didn't go there. And I really, honestly, I didn't go there. And I suddenly realized, oh, God, politics is involved in this. When the next day, as the country was, you remember, it was we were so happy that we were beginning to wag our fingers at each other and going, you shouldn't be so happy. You know, you remember how stupid that was? You know, don't be glad and dance. It doesn't speak well of us. Who are you, whoever you were, who are you to speak to what speaks well of us or not? Just who in the hell were these people who came out from underneath their quilts, who came out from under their comforters long enough to wag a finger and say, ooh, you don't know enough about the human race to make a comment like that. You don't know enough about this country to make a comment like that. Nonetheless, so that's how I was feeling. I was feeling very good, and I was exulting, as everybody was. And then I realized that politics indeed was involved, because I think it was either the next day or the day after, when the congressional people were weighing in on what a great job our guys had done. Fantastic job. And the president was getting the credit that he deserved for that operation. There's no question about it. And anybody that says he doesn't obviously is showing themselves to be what they are, completely skewed, you know, ideologically. But then I saw the Republican leaders line up. And the Republicans lined up to congratulate the president and to congratulate our armed forces. And you'd swear to God that each guy that had been at the microphone, then another guy would come up behind him. You'd swear that the guy in front of the guy that was coming up had just cut the worst-smelling fart on earth. Because the way these guys looked when they got up to the mic, they were just, today is really a great day. I mean, they looked like they were in pain, and it was the hardest thing they'd ever done. And it was just the most depressing thing to have to stand there and say, congratulations, the president. Whatever happened to giving credit where credit is due. Grow up. Admit that sometimes you're wrong about certain things. Even if you're a conservative, yes, you can be wrong about certain things. I know it comes as a shock. One thing about progressives, they know they're wrong about stuff all the time. They're always backpedaling. Liberals and progressives, they're always having to backpedal. They're so used to it that they've got all kinds of great comebacks as they're getting their ass kicked. You know, as they're getting their ass beat, they're almost like Jake LaMotta in The Raging Bull. Remember when Robert De Niro, as Jake LaMotta, got just his brains beat in by Sugar Ray Robinson? And he walks up to Sugar Ray, and he's covered in blood, just covered from head to toe in blood. His nose is busted. His face is just destroyed. And he walks up to him and he says, you never got me down, Ray. You never dropped me down. You know, in other words, he got his ass handed to him. But he was proud of the fact that he never got he never got knocked to the canvas. To me, that in so many ways, when I listen to Democrats and I listen to Republicans, or excuse me, progressives, that's what I hear. They get their ass kicked and they'll never admit it. But the problem with the conservatives is worse. The problem with conservatives is that they don't think it's possible that they can get their ass kicked. They don't believe that their ass has been kicked. They are so afraid and so, quite frankly, disconnected from reality that when they do get their ass kicked, they don't see it. It's a delusional thing. At least a Democrat can look and a progressive can look and say, I really got my ass handed to me. Well, time for me to think up another bunch of horse crap to make it sound like I won. That's what they do. That's what they know how to do. That's what they've been doing for years. And they do it very well. And the world laughs. Yeah, sure. Okay. Whatever. But Republicans and conservatives are a little bit more dangerous because as delusional as they are, they don't recognize that they've just had their ass handed to them. They don't recognize that what they just said there's no relationship to reality. None. I mean, they go off, they waste 2 years on whether Obama's a commie. 2 years, 3 years they waste on whether he's a commie or not. How the country is not safe. Obama, if you want to be perfectly honest, folks, and I realize that this is, that's a tough question. Do you want to be honest? Is it one of the toughest questions to ask in talk radio? Because naturally, because this medium, this format, survives on horse dung. Talk radio is just a cavalcade of horse dung from sun up to sundown. We don't survive on truth. However, let me just try something different. Let me ask you an honest question. In fact, it was so honest, I forgot what it was.
What was it?
I don't know. No, wait. Here's what I want you to consider. These guys are in a world of delusion. Obama, if they were honest with themselves, has far from acted like the full-on commie socialist liberal they thought he would. This guy has gone to bat for the Patriot Act. This guy has gone to bat for security measures and military measures. Far, far, far beyond anything the progressives and the Democrats that got behind him ever thought he would. I mean, he's pissed off a lot of those people. He has decided, no, we're not going to prosecute the attorneys, and we're not going to prosecute President Bush for war crimes. That's a whole dance that we're not going to get. That's ridiculous. There's nothing there. No laws have been broken. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to waste the country's money. I'm not going to put us through that. Oh, my God. He has disappointed those. So, you know, if you were honest, you'd say this guy has not acted in any way, shape, or form the way these liberals thought he would, nor has he acted in any way, shape, or form like the conservatives thought he would. Sure, he went for his freaking, he said national health care. He was doing, gee, national health care. Wow, there's a really radical idea. It's only about, 140 years old. 140 years old. Not introduced by the Canadians, not introduced by the British, not introduced by the French, not introduced by the Russians, not introduced by the Spanish or the Mexicans, introduced by Bismarck, the Germans. They got statues to Bismarck in Germany. He was the father of their nation. A man who was quite progressive for his day, and a guy that lost a battle of wills with the Kaiser, who went on to run that country, well, basically right into the sewer, you know. So the idea of national health care, folks, communist? Let me think. No. Not even close. So anyway, now we have the Republicans here, and they have to start showing what they know on foreign policy. And what do they know on foreign? What makes Republicans any more intelligent on foreign policy than Obama? I understand that President Bush was obviously, for better or for worse, President Bush was obviously steeped in the business of foreign affairs. He was a guy who was, you know, there were a couple of wars, the country had been attacked. I get it. I understand. Some people never will. I don't give a damn. President Bush did what he thought was right, and I thank him for it, and I thank the president for protecting the country, and I know I sound like a fascist, but I don't care.
You sound like a fascist.
I don't care. Obama's policies have been, quote, pretty resolute and solid, said Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute who specializes in national security and defense policy. O'Hanlon particularly noted Obama's use of lethal force in the deaths of Osama bin Laden and Anwar al-Awlaki, an American-born member of the al-Qaeda terrorist organization in Yemen. These were a departure from the rhetoric espoused by candidate Obama. Not really. Not really. No, they weren't. People never listened to Obama. It's the problem with Obama. Nobody listened to what he was actually saying. Everybody else already had him figured out, including the dumbasses that voted for him. An Obama economic approval rating has continued to slip. The public's view of his national security policies remains positive. In a recent Gallup poll, 63% of those surveyed said they approved of Obama's handling of terrorism, and 52% approved of his handling of the war in Iraq. I think he is remarkably strong. And the more this election is about security issues, the more advantageous it is to the president, said former Navy Secretary Richard Danziger. That hasn't stopped GOP contenders from criticizing Obama during the November the 12th debate for not being aggressive. The Republicans better get off this foreign policy kick because they're going to sound so stupid, you won't even believe it. Iran, what are you going to do, Perry? What do you think you're going to do, huh? Afghanistan, there ain't a one of those guys, Perry, Gingrich, Romney, none of those guys have got anything better to say about that than what we're doing currently. Oh, yeah, sure, there's a lot of really brave things we can do. We have to take into consideration what the kind of a world we're living in right now and just exactly what you can get away with and what you can't get away with, you know.
What do you mean you can get away with, man? I mean, Iran, what they got like a nuclear weapon?
If they get nuclear weapons, I guess we're going to have to drop an A-bomb on them.
Get out of here.
I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, you can't drop an A-bomb and people think we're war criminals.
Well, these cats are not supposed to have nuclear weapons. They're not supposed to have nuclear weapons. That's part of the non-proliferation treaty. That's part of the non-proliferation pact that the country signed.
Well, you talk about non-proliferation pact?
You saying that word on purpose, aren't you?
No, it's non-proliferation.
Non-proliferation. I'm going to belt you. You're not supposed to have nuclear weapons. You don't get to have nuclear weapons.
Why don't they get to have nuclear? Everybody else does.
Oh, why don't they get to have it? Well, first of all, because they signed a non-proliferation treaty that said only use it for peaceful means.
Why come America gets to?
Why come America gets to? Well,
I mean, how come?
How? Because America, along with the Chinese, the Soviets, I believe the British and the French, those five countries are the big five. We get to have nuclear weapons. And the reason why we get to have nuclear weapons is because we are considered to be the perfect nations to have them in terms of the balance of power in the world. And the countries that signed on to this non-proliferation acknowledge that America, the Soviet Union, the Chinese, the English, and the French get to have nuclear weapons, and nobody else does. Now, that's just the fact.
What about India?
India did not sign the treaty. Nor did Pakistan, as far as I know. But if you signed it, your ass is up for grabs. That's why we can't tell India. Now, you try to tell this stuff to a bunch of simple-minded bastards that don't know anything about, you know, international agreements and treaties and things like that. People want us to hold to one treaty, but they don't want us to hold to another treaty. People want us to hold to a UN resolution, but they don't want us to hold to this treaty. You know, they're going to say to us, well, that's not fair. Maybe it's not fair, but that's the deal, man. Take it or leave it. That's the deal.
Yeah, but how are you going to get Iran, man? I mean, you'd have to invade and everything.
There's a lot of stuff you could do. Either you got a treaty that has force or it doesn't. Either you have a treaty that says, we get to have nuclear weapons, you don't.
What about Israel?
Israel, as far as anybody knows, doesn't have nuclear. Now, I understand maybe they do. But Israel, I don't think they signed the non-proliferation treaty either. So, but Israel doesn't let anybody know anything about what they got other than what they got. Now, Iran can scream all they want about what Israel's got. But Israel, as far as anybody knows, they don't have anything. Oh, yes, sure, they do. But the fact is, the Iranians are under the microscope right now. They're a bunch of liars, and they probably got them. And I say that if they don't turn over all fissible materials, or whatever the hell the word is, that we go in at dawn with handheld nuclear Panzerfausts and blow the entire Iranian Muslim thang to bits. What do you think?
I'm vote for it.
All right. Hey, I don't know, man. What do you think? How do I know? I don't know. Invade. Or we can do this. We can wait around for the Iranians to get the nuclear weapons, and then one day they get a wild hair up their ass and they use them. Let me ask you a question. You know, Hitler was working on having nuclear weapons.
You got a break.
Oh, I got a break? Oh, sorry. Okay. Let's just pretend that Hitler just blew me up with a nuclear weapon, shall we? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL when we are usually on the air and we are usually, you know, doing whatever we're doing. Uh-oh. Incoming!
Hey.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll go to Dean in Northern California. Dean, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. Phil, I wanted to congratulate you and all of you in Southern California, and I think I speak for everybody across the country. There's a lot of jubilation, I imagine, in your neck of the woods right now with the Galaxy winning the Major League Soccer title, and we're just coming back, as a matter of fact, from one of my son's banquets that they had for a junior soccer in the Bay Area, but everyone's been talking about it. Congratulations on the Galaxy.
I didn't even know that they... That's great.
Yeah, they did. They won the Major League Soccer Championship, and David Beckham, of course, proved his worth. I can imagine that you know, there's been an awful lot of excitement there. Or there hasn't. Is that what you're saying?
I haven't heard of any, no.
Well, I think the people of Southern California think they should get behind. They just won the championship. Are they not aware of that? Did you see anything in the news?
Well, no, I was aware of it. I think I heard about it.
Think you heard about it?
No, hold on. I think I heard about it.
Well, the fact that you have to remember where you heard about it, you didn't hear about it. He just said he didn't hear about it. Oh, boy, that kind of ruins the rest of my phone call because I wanted to invite you, Phil, and your crew to a gala that we're having here in a week for the junior soccer of the Bay Area, but we're going to have some film footage of the game and refreshments.
Of the soccer?
Yeah, uh-huh, of the soccer.
I mean, I'm sorry, sir, of the soccer championship?
Yeah, the soccer championship. I guess that's what you want to call it. The Major League Soccer Championship. So you're not aware of the Galaxy winning it, and let me just take a wild guess, you don't care.
I have to say, no, I don't. I have to be honest.
Of all the talk shows I could have called tonight, and I call yours, of all of the talk shows I could have called tonight, and I willingly walked into a fisting on the...
Watch your language. World-famous Phil Henry Show, thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you guys again tonight. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. The only way to truly enjoy the Phil Henry Show is with a backstage pass. That's the only true way. Well, frankly, that's the only true way to prove you love this country. I'm Phil Hendry. A pleasant good evening.
Phil Hendry.
You really put some...